Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the podcast they call Comes Naturally. And as always, we ask you to do a few things. First, go to the Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Then head to Twitter, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
at Comes Natural Pod.
Then you head on over to iTunes, you rate the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, and review the podcast. Cody.
Welcome to Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to this week's episode. It's all about Ghostbusters and some other stuff.
Mostly about Ghostbusters, though.
Yes.
Because first things first.
I was wrong.
I'm talking to one, one specific listener. If you are the one who edited those trailers,
you
should
fired.
Be fired. Because the trailers were horseshit.
Whoa. Drug out in the street, beaten with a sock full of oranges, then fired.
And also,
if
you're a person who has watched Ghostbusters and you're still like, my childhood's ruined. It's not about guys. Go fuck yourself also.
Right?
Because Ghostbusters was amazing.
It was so good.
It was so much fun. So much fun. And scary. Like, it started off scary.
Jump
scares.
Yeah. Legit, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the part that you guys knew that you would start to like this movie? I
liked
it from the beginning. I'll say I liked it from the beginning because
the haunting really started
the things, you know,
because it was
bringing everything together for me.
It was
really
funny.
Weird.
I didn't say it out loud. I said it to myself. You might have heard it. But when the dude that's in that gets haunted the first.
Spoilers.
What?
Spoilers.
I didn't say who it was.
I know, I'm just saying. Spoilers.
By the way, we're going to spoil a bunch of shit of this. So,
yeah.
Stay to the end.
Spoilers, Infinity.
So when he walks up, he plays a character named Jared in Silicon Valley on HBO. And I was like, oh, Jared. I don't know why. It's like, I was like, yeah, I'm in.
I
didn't know he was in it either.
I didn't either. That's the thing.
I was all like, oh, that's that guy. He's funny.
But that whole sequence was really fun. So he's leading that group through the quote unquote haunted house at that time, and then that candle falls
which
over.
Which I thought was legit,
like,
from the thing, because
right.
you saw the door, like they lead you to think the slide lock on the door moves. You're like, oh, she's gonna come out, and then the candle stick falls. You're like, ooh, and he's like plays it. He's like, oh, and then they walk out and he lifts it up and it's got the little kickstand. I was like, oh,
like,
dirty
oh,
motherfucker,
you're an asshole. But then. The doorknob really starts moving, and he's like, oh,
it's
this
pretty
is awful.
Intense, too, dude.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not,
for sure.
It's not like, oh, a kid movie, oh, this is scary, like a Goosebumps kind of thing. Like, it was legit, like, oh, shit, because it was like, shit was coming after him, and then he even, like, called himself stupid when he realized he ran into the room to get away from it. I was like, yeah, you dumb.
Yeah, you ran, you should have gone the other way, but you did not.
But, yeah, I remember... thinking, because I was, again, I was never a fan of the idea of rebooting it to begin with. I wanted a sequel, and I thought you could do the exact same cast and director and everything, just make it a sequel, and I thought that would have been a better thing to do. But I'm not gonna say I was wrong,
because I think you could have been right,
but
with the right script
and I think it would have done better. You know what I mean?
It probably would have.
I think a lot of these Ghostbusters nerds would have been like a little bit more on board. But the way they did it to set up a new Ghostbusters universe was really, really good, and really clever. But like I said, I don't know. I
think you nailed it from the beginning with talking about the trailers. The trailers, to me, made me fear that this movie would be just absolutely garbage with slapstick humor. Like, they replaced all of the straight level jokes and the more realism stuff in the first two movies with something that, like, is going to be, oh, people like seeing dick shots and people falling over and getting slimed and stuff. And that's what the trailers showed. But literally, those two parts in the trailers are the only two slapstick parts in the whole entire movie.
And you don't hate it when it happens, because it's not something that you're getting so much of. Like, it was literally, I can't remember another movie where I thought after watching the movie, I'm like, oh, they showed the worst parts in the trailer.
Yeah.
Seriously. And they showed it so out of context that it was leading people to believe, like, if, again, spoilers, but if you thought that big thing with the fucked up face was the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man,
it wasn't.
It wasn't.
No.
And but it's not like they're making a different marshmallow. No, like it makes so much sense the way they did it. Like yeah. A lot of thought was put into it. It was gorgeous too. By the way, like God. I keep reading these reviews of people complaining about the CG. I don't see it at all. I don't understand it whatsoever. It looks gorgeous.
We went. I mean, to be fair, we did go see it in IMAX 3D.
Yeah.
So I mean, honestly, there could be something a little bit different in the standard and regular 3D versions, but that was the best, clearest 3D I've seen in a while. Yeah. And the way that they did the 3D, I know Cody and I talked about this last night, and you probably saw it too, Mike, but the way that they would go outside of the black bars was absolutely amazing. The first scene that I saw was the vomit scene with the Kristen Wiig, and everybody was in there. And you can see the vomit going over the black bar. And then Patty's necklace dangles over the black bar. I was like, well, that's kind of... weird, it was good. It was really good 3D. Oh, I loved the final battle scene with the giant ghost, and they're using their proton packs to whip ghosts around and whatnot.
Yeah,
they made them weapons. I thought was really interesting.
Yeah, it's so original. Like, and it's one of those things that it makes sense.
And it wasn't like I was worried that like they're gonna shoot a proton pack and it was gonna blow a ghost up.
Yeah,
like in my head, I was like, that's probably what's gonna happen. That's not really how like the Ghostbusters had it. But it wasn't. Like, it wraps them up, and they would just, like, fucking slam them on the ground from there and shit. Like, it was pretty dope.
Yeah, and you're sitting there thinking, like, oh, yeah. Like, it makes sense, because that's all it was. It was basically an electronic lasso. Even in the original movies, that's all it was an electronic lasso.
They actually tell you that it's a reverse tractor beam.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes sense, because you never think about it.
Yeah.
All right, so I pulled up a couple things. I pulled up Easter eggs. So, again, this is going to be spoilery. So these are things to look for, and they're parallels between – they're homages, basically, from the reboot to the originals. So, number one, both films, the title appears after a shot zooming in on the face of a screaming victim.
Yep.
So, same thing. Obviously, those librarian in the first one, and it was the curator, the tour guide of the house and the haunted house in this one.
Yeah.
Aaron Gilbert, Kristen Wiig's character, is a professor at Columbia University, just like Bakeman was.
Yep.
Aaron gets fired from Columbia because of her beliefs in the paranormal.
So did they.
Yep.
Which I will say, that scene right there was hilarious.
Yeah, the dude from Jimmy Kimmel, not Jimmy Kimmel. What?
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon show.
Yeah.
Like, because that sidekick, I can't remember his name. Jimmy Pardo, right?
No.
Something Pardo.
No.
Doesn't matter. He does fantastic as the dean of that shitty little college.
In case people will watch this, you're like, why did the sidekick on Jimmy Fallon get a part in the movie? He was a writer and producer for like 100 years on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
So
he knows a lot of them.
He's worked with almost, he literally has worked with everyone in that cast. So.
Wow. Holy shit.
It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Ghostbusters.
There's a bust of Harold Ramis or Egon Spengler outside of Aaron's office in Columbia University.
Caught that. That was pretty nice awesome. Yep. Yeah.
Obviously, he couldn't make a cameo because, unfortunately, he passed away before making the movie.
His son was in it, though.
Yes.
Well, I'm guessing you're probably going to get to that, sir.
Way to jump ahead and spoil stuff, Mike.
God.
You spoiled the list of spoilers, you dick.
You cock.
That's my job.
Way to Cody us.
Yeah. Way to Cody. Oh, wait a minute. I'm an adjective. Let's see. Where was I?
Spengler. Bust.
Okay. I scrolled up. The door of Abby and Holtzman's lab, a sign that reads, "Do not write stupid things on the door." It's a throwback to the graffiti, "Burn in Hell, Venkman," on the front on his door. Because it was, done the same way. Books Can't Fly. When they go there, it's the opening scene. It's Books Can't Fly. It's the thing from Ghostbusters 1, obviously. My Pants Are Toast is spoken in a conversation between Ed Begley Jr. and Zach Woods, who's Jared from Silicon Valley, is a reference to Bill Murray's famous declaration, "This chick is toast."
Mm-hmm.
Obviously talking about near the end of the movie. the new Ghostbusters maintain the same ghost classifications, for example, a class 4 apparition, which, by the way, I did catch one faux pas.
What?
When they left the concert hall, they said, we have a class 3 apparition. When they're talking to Bill Murray's character at there when he wants to see it, they refer to it as a class 4 apparition in the trap.
Hmm.
So I thought that was interesting.
Did not catch that.
Oh, the dust warning.
Yeah, it is.
Dust warning in Arizona.
Check your local media. Avoid travel. It's okay. Hot outside. I'm going to avoid travel no matter what.
Yep. All day, every day. On the first ghostbusting assignment, one of the Ghostbusters gets drenched in slime.
Yep.
We all know that. The ghost of Aldrich Mansion looks very similar to the library ghost from the Ghostbusters because it's the same thing. I mean, she looks normal.
The idea of her is exactly the same.
Well, no, because she looks normal, and then when she gets angry, she looks dead.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like the obviously, idea, like the, it's not the same looking person, but the idea is the same.
Similar.
A free floating, full body apparition.
And it wasn't in the library either, which that was another thing.
No, it was. If you look at where it's at, they were in the study.
It was a study, though. It wasn't like. Because you saw that, and you saw the books around it, and people were like, oh, they're just going right into a library for the opening scene. Oh, yeah, for the trailers, you know what I mean? People were like, and I was kind of annoyed by it, too, but that goes back to that trailer was just put together so,
poorly.
It had no chance.
The one thing that I think about the trailers as well is that you have literally no idea who the bad guy is in the trailers.
Yeah, you get later on.
They don't give that guy credit.
No, they kept that hidden because in the last trailer, they show Chris Hemsworth all like dancing around that machine, and it makes you think because they say someone's
they make you assume that.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying in the trailer they show him dancing around there like a lunatic, and you're like, oh, he's the bad guy. Spoilers,
I think it's a complete disservice because you know it fools you into thinking something different about this movie, of course. The whole trailer fooled you into thinking that it was a completely garbage movie.
Yeah.
But I just think it's a disservice and something that was just poorly done.
Very much so. Like the original Ghostbusters, all three of them got fired, lose their jobs because of their beliefs. Mm-hmm. Again, because of the same thing. Like the original Ghostbusters, Abby and Holtzman draw an eerie and angry Dean. The first movie, it's Columbia's Dean Yeager or Jordan Charney. In the remake, it's played by Tonight Show's Steve Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
The new Ghostbusters try to put up resistance in the same residence in the same building as Ghostbusters Hook and Ladder Building 18 in Tribeca.
I do like that they didn't just jump right into that too.
Yeah, like I thought it was really funny because you get shocker or spoiler here at the end they get fully funded by New York City
on the low.
But not the chicken waffles.
Oh, they got a stripper pole. They're both just hanging around on it.
It's so funny.
And then she goes, oh, well, you know, okay, how much is this place a month? $1,200 a month. Go to hell.
Burn in hell. One right here.
Yeah.
When the real estate agent, which, by the way, did you know who was playing the real estate agent?
That was...
You're going to be wrong.
Nope, I can't remember.
It was the co-writer of the movie. Yep. That was the... Because it was co-written by... Paul Feig, the director, and her. I can't remember her name right now. Which she doesn't even say here. I don't think it even talks about her being it. But good I saw job, it in the credits. Internet. I saw it in the credits when it came by. It says realtor. It was her name. I was like, oh, shit. Hell yeah, make a cameo. You can't direct it. Did you see Paul Feig in it by then? Did you see
it? No, I was looking for it. I thought I heard something that he was in it.
Maybe he cut himself out.
I wasn't looking, so.
I did because it's a thing now. Find that stuff in there.
Everything ever since John Favreau?
Well, kind of. But it's just a thing. I always look for that stuff. I know the director. If the director's seen a lot, because there's a lot of directors you can't point out if you see him. You're like, oh, that's Gareth Edwards.
He has a very unique look too.
He wears a suit every day,
it's the same glasses and like that. It's just real unique. His persona he's created. So
It says. When the real estate agent tells Aaron the price of rent of the Hook and Ladder 8, her response is burn in hell, a second callback to the graffiti on Venkman's door. When Kevin, Chris Hemsworth, arrives for his interview, Abby is making flyers. When Aaron rejects her first idea, if you see something, say something, and then the option in the classic Ray Parker Jr. ghost lyrics for the Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. If there's something strange in your neighborhood, yeah, who are you going to call? She says that.
Cut off. Yeah.
In the subway beneath New York City, Aaron, Abby, Holtzman, and Patty encounter a ghost on an electrocuted convict. Possible nod to the brothers from
That's
the second
movie.
That's
what I was thinking, yeah.
During the test of a new equipment prototype,
too.
Oh, dude, holy shit, that was my favorite ghost. And when
you see the eyes? Yeah, I see the
eyes. But the second time when they burn, when the eyes start to light up first, and then I was like, y'all gonna give kids nightmares.
Although I
like,
did think it was funny where they were, it was the first scene or second scene, I can't remember, but they barely just get out of the way of the train coming, and it hits the coast, and slime goes everywhere.
Well, but the best part is it's only hitting her, because every time the train goes from one train to the other, it hits him. And it shoots the slime out through the opening and the thing, and it's only hitting her.
Well, like a little bit to get in the other one, but what made me laugh is Holtzman didn't get hit by any slime the entire movie.
Yeah.
She's always right there and never got hit by any slime. I was like, yeah, that's pretty funny. Oh, and real quick before you keep going, the other thing that I like, too, is...
The vagina joke?
No,
none of the joke was hilarious.
Yeah,
that's
hilarious. It got everywhere.
Is like the characters weren't exact
replicas. They weren't replicas. They weren't ripoffs of the original. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Because I was kind of worried about that, and so I was like watching it. And I'm like, I hope this one's like. I was thinking like Melissa McCartney was gonna be like the Bill Murray. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it wasn't like that.
They were split. Yeah. Like they took the attributes of.
Of those original
Stance
characters.
And Venkman mixed them together and then gave both Aaron and Abby those traits.
Yeah.
But they counterbalanced them. Like, they were both fanatics, but one was a little less fanatic-y, you know what I mean? And the other one was, like, full bore.
Yeah.
And then eventually, Aaron goes that way, too, and they're there together.
Yeah.
My favorite part was Patty wasn't just like Winston.
Yeah.
She was very, very forward, where Winston's like, yeah, whatever, you know? I did one thing, though, is I wanted a Twinkie reference.
I know. I was waiting for one,
That
too.
Was one thing I really wanted. Even if someone was ate a Twinkie
just a
and someone said, oh, where'd you get a Twinkie from? Like, it's something like that. It's like, just let me see a Twinkie in there. But, yeah. Let's see. During the test of the new equipment prototype in the alley behind the headquarters, Feige's Ghostbusters quietly shuffle away from the potentially deadly new gadget and nod to the similar effect when Egon turns on when Egon and Pete flip the Ray's proton pack and move away from the in the elevator, which is still one of my favorite scenes from the first movie.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because you hear it rumble up, and they're just like, and they slowly press up against the wall. Yeah.
Considering each of us are carrying an unlicensed nuclear accelerator.
In our backs.
All right, let me up.
I did enjoy it.
It's on silent, so I don't know why.
Siri, shut up.
It's not Siri.
It was.
It's another emergency alert.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But one of my favorite things was though you see the evolution of the gear, like she keeps adding to the proton packs,
right? And that's one thing that I loved. You see in the commercials again where you see like bear traps and this and that, and I'm like, oh, this is gonna be a gadget movie, and it's absolutely awful. But it's not. She's literally. Okay, the first one is that giant thing.
It's the one in the shopping cart?
And then she goes to shoot it, and it just goes, and it falls short, and it lands on the ground.
So more power. Okay, more power.
But then, yeah, she's slowly upgrading things over
time.
And
it makes sense, too. She's like, oh, we need this and this and this. We need to make it more mobile, blah, blah, blah. And she tweaks it, and it gets better and better. And then she busts out her toys, and she got little handguns and grenades and stuff. And I was like,
the gauntlet is, I think, my favorite, the coolest thing, though.
The gauntlet was yours?
Yeah, because the trailer makes it look like it's essentially ghost-busting brass knuckles, but it's not. Like, she's throwing a proton fireball, basically.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn it. So fucking clever.
But, dude, the pistol-style one.
I think the pistol ones were actually pretty good, yeah. Ooh. I hated them in the trailer, but
when
the actual
licks
movie,
that gun,
they were
I was
actually
like, ooh, I want
really
to be
cool.
That gun. Wait, what?
Yeah, man.
Mike had a weird boner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike had the weird boner. All of us did.
Holtzman.
Joe kept moving his out of the way. Get out of the way.
Holtzman is my favorite movie character in a long time.
Yeah,
like,
she was fantastic
long
no matter what.
Time. I can't.
Her
is
character
it the hat?
Doesn't.
It's the hat, right?
Is it the hat? Yeah.
Is the hat or the wig?
It's the hat, isn't it?
Her character's fantastic,
bad.
Dude.
It's the best.
And it's not a slight. All of the characters were good.
Yeah.
They all very well performed, well written.
Mm-hmm.
But Holtzman's obviously, her weird quirks and stuff.
I think it's because it's Kate McKinnon that she brought that character. She brought
a lot of personality to that role. Just like from that scene it's where the background she's singing
stuff, though. Oh yeah, no, lip syncing.
Lip syncing. The barge scene. She's lip syncing, but just genius. She's dancing around. She's got the two blowtorch going, and she burns the thing down.
But as you said, like even her background stuff, you found yourself like.
She's literally taking your eyes away from her because the weird shit she's doing in the background.
But not in like an upstagey kind of way. It's just that's her. And you would that's expect, her doing in the background. Like you know, like that's what she would be doing. Like you're like, oh, okay, this is Holtzman. She's a fucking weirdo, but fantastic at the same time.
Yeah. Continue.
At the lowest point, the four Ghostbusters share a meal. Papa John's Pizzas, obviously a
product placement.
Yeah. Product placement.
Which was perfectly fine because they didn't say it.
No, they didn't.
They didn't say this Papa John's is delicious. It was just a box.
That's another thing I read on the reviews about people complaining about all the product placement. I'm like, there's a good handful of product placement.
Like, but not.
But it's not Michael Bay slapping status. You in your face and like taking away from the movie. It's all stuff that makes sense.
It's not a,
you know?
It's not a Budweiser.
Yeah.
So it's basically they share a pizza just like the Ghostbusters shared the meal based on their last of the petty cash and enjoy a magnificent feast of Chinese takeout, which is they could have done because obviously it's above Chinese, but they did it as pizza because it's in New York and that's what you do.
Yeah, but they did have Chinese food all throughout the movie. And yeah, it was hilarious.
The best part was that
the one wonton.
Yeah, it was the taxi driver from Deadpool.
Yeah.
But the best part is at the end, he's so happy. He like gives her like the wonton soup and it's just full of wonton. She's like, this is extreme opposite.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. You had to know someone was going to say some variation of who you're going to call in line from Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters song, which appears in the movie for several forms. Melissa McCarthy gets the honors when she wonders when the New Yorkers have ghost troubles, who are they going to call?
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious. I do wish they would have made a commercial, though,
like
instead of just
did.
The YouTube ad.
Yeah.
Just a shittily done commercial that, like, played up, like, the like obviously, in the first movie, when they make their first commercial, none of them are actors, so it's very deadpan, and, like, Ray is very, like...
very scientific and, like,
yeah,
very
and then,
straight
like,
to
Egon
the...
is, like, very, like, awkward, and then, obviously, you know, Venkman is just, like...
A game show host?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. He's all into it. So I think that would have been pretty cool. They made YouTube videos, which is fun. And then the greatest thing about that was the YouTube comment: "Bitches can't hunt ghosts."
Yeah,
ain't no bitches gonna bust no ghosts.
Yeah, so
which
fantastic.
I believe was an actual
probably
real comment.
Probably
got a lot of play early on when they announced the cast.
Let's see. Original Ghostbusters: Bill Murray play a ghost of bunker, not only calling back to his role in the first movie, but serving the plot function of Walter Peck, the EPA lawyer who refuses to believe Ghostbusters are legitimate and wants to shut them out in business. Which is hoping he was going to show up sometime.
I was
that
waiting
still
for
alive,
it as well, yeah.
But whatever. Act 1 drives past the New York Public Library, the site from the first movie in Ivan Reitman's film, which I thought was really cool.
Oh, and real quick, too, who played the mayor?
Andy Garcia?
Yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah, fantastic.
Not very many scenes,
no.
But fucking murdered it. He was so funny, and I can't remember him being funny in anything.
It's the what caught me off guard is the way he starts it, where he thanks him, and then tells him to stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wait, no, this is going a different direction.
Yeah, and so that's the other thing, too. It's got some uniqueness to it, because, like, again, you know, you find out, which we mentioned, that they get secretly funded by the government because they're like, holy shit, this is a real threat and you guys are the ones who did some good, which actually makes more sense than the route that the original Ghostbusters took where
they were like...
Like, you go to the second one and they've been broken up for a few years and there's no ghosts around. Like, so it makes me more excited for the second one because they're like, they're gonna have money, they're gonna have... They're gonna be operating stuff, you know, so...
But again, another scene where Holtzman is literally grabbing that dude's dick in the background, and you're just laughing because
flicking at his junk.
You know, you're like, what the hell?
Was it? How many regulations you break on a daily basis?
One?
She was like, was it one?
One? Is it one?
No.
No.
Is it two? No. Was it one?
So this next one, Rowan or Neil Casey, the awkward nerd, helps open a portal to bring ghosts into our world. In Reitman's movie, Lewis Tully, Rick Moranis' character, another awkward nerd, helps bring ghosts into our world through your choice being possessed by Vince Gortho, the Keymaster.
True.
Direct, you know, obviously. It's a nod to it.
Yeah, nod, yeah.
The Ghostbusters actions in the new movie bring them attention of New York's mayor, Andy Garcia. There you go. who holds a meeting with them in his office in homage to Mayor Lenny Cloth, who figures prominently in both Ghostbusters 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. So hopefully Andy Garcia will be back for the second one, because I'm pretty sure they're making a second one.
I'm sure he will.
Don't you ever compare me to the mayor from Jaws.
Dude, my second favorite scene of his, actually, I think my favorite one was the him being interviewed by the news guy at the end. And like he starts to talk, and the guy starts ignoring him. Like he's asking him a question, and he tries to like pan it right away from it, and he's just like, and then it goes away from it. It makes he's like, but yeah,
maybe. Or like one of my favorite parts of him though is they cut into the restaurant when Kristen Wiig goes to the mayor to tell like warn him what's going on, and they're trying to keep everything hush hush. But it starts with a conversation between Andy Garcia and his assistant. And she's like, no, he didn't cut him in half. There's two girls. He's like, I saw the show. They cut the lady in half, and she was still alive. She's like, no, I promise you, there was two girls. And I was like, Jesus Christ, this mayor's retarded. It's fantastic.
I like that. To continue that scene on where Kristen Wiig, first off, she's in a trench coat, which harkens back to the second one where they're covered in the ooze, and they're going into the fancy restaurant. Yep. But she's trying like different panels of glasses.
She thinks that's a door. She thinks that's one door. She all think of doors.
She's a scientist.
Yeah. Speaking of Cecilia Strong, who plays the mayor's aide, this next one's all about her.
Yeah.
Talks about when she's while the government is fully aware of ghosts, which I thought was a pretty neat nod because it nods back. This happened once before. I was like,
right.
It needs to convince society that Ghostbusters are frauds. Otherwise, she explains, there would be mass hysteria, which is invoking Bill Murray's line from the first movie, dogs and cats living together in mass hysteria. Same idea. Would have been cool if she says cats and dogs living together, but...
Yeah, it would have been.
Whatever. The new movie, The Mercado Hotel, a large Art Deco building, becomes the focal point of spiritual energy in the city, which is... a lot like Spook Central, an apartment building, Central Park West, from the first Ghostbusters, which had the same idea because like the spire was like that's cool, a little way of doing it. During her cameo as a receptionist, Annie Potts, who played a Ghostbusters receptionist Jeanine Melnitz in Reitman's movie, says, "What do you want?" A callback to her line in 1984 when she plays in this one. She plays the receptionist at the hotel, and she says, "What do you want?" when they come to ask her something. Rowan wants to bring about the fourth cataclysm. There's been two previous Ghostbusters movies, and the Ghostbusters video game that Dan Aykroyd claimed was essentially the third movie, which makes Paul Feig's Ghostbusters the fourth official time the Ghostbusters have saved the world from a disaster.
So it would be the fourth cataclysm.
Yep. So,
on a side note, for that game was fantastic.
That game was amazing.
I loved that game so much.
I'm kind of interested in the new one, but I haven't looked up reviews because it just came out. But it looks cool because you can actually make a Ghostbuster of your own. You can make it male or female, and there's different body types it looks like, and then you like battle ghosts and stuff. So I was gonna look into it and see if it was good. It's only like right now it's on sale for its regular price is $50. But I was gonna look at the reviews.
I saw if it's that game. I didn't actually look at the special, and maybe you'll be able to tell me because of where you work. On the Xbox, it says if you purchase the game, you get the movie for free.
I was gonna say there's an avatar reward if you buy it on the console.
Oh no! Like you log on to Xbox. Well, then again, you have the Windows 10 beta.
It might not show up on mine.
Right. So on mine, every time I pulled it up, just above the games, just above the games with gold, it says Ghostbusters: buy the game, get the movie free.
Maybe they're talking about the first movie.
I think they're talking about OG.
You think? Well, I was thinking that they were talking about like a pre-order when it comes out.
Well, I mean, you're not getting it now, but I wonder if they're just talking about the
Yeah,
the
no, first I wasn't one. Thinking that you'd get it now, but yeah, it would be awesome because I would totally buy that.
In the new Ghostbusters, on outgoing message machine, Kevin says, "Ghostbusters, what do you want?" A second reference to Annie Potts' line in the original film. In the ghost form, Rowan can possess human beings the same way Zool and Vince Cortho possessed Dana Barrett and Louis Tully, which I thought was pretty fun. And then, of course, turning into the mascot from the cartoon was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
In an attempt to convince the mayor is headed for disaster at biblical proportions, She bangs on the window of a fancy restaurant there before they're having lunch at. The scene echoes to the one in Reitman's Ghostbusters where Louis Tully is chased by Vince Corso and bangs on the windows of the tavern.
Yeah,
that one's great because he's wearing the trench coat as well.
No, he's wearing
wearing
the trench coat wasn't in the second
that
one.
That was when they got out of the sewers.
But they had that look about them.
Yeah. The panicky on the windows and trying to get in. Everyone's looking at him like he's a fucking lunatic. Both movies feature skies over Manhattan darkening with supernatural clouds when the door of the ghost realm is open fully.
I was waiting for that song to bust out. Dreams.
Yeah.
Dreams.
Slimer, the famous green ghost from the original Ghostbusters that Dan Aykroyd claims is the spirit of John Belushi, not only returns in Feige's Ghostbusters.
Never heard that. That's very dark.
Yeah, that's what he believes because it's mischievous and obviously he's always throwing food in itself.
Which was hilarious.
And gets angry and yells.
And never really does anything bad either.
No.
He's just trying to and have a good time.
He does commit Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
In vehicular manslaughter.
That ghost just steals Ghostbusters' car.
Bad. Attempted.
I'm guessing you're going to talk about here how he appears in the hot dog cart and that's how he appears in the first movie.
Hot dogs from a street vendor.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic. I do like the look of him though.
He's so gross looking.
Yeah, he's super
but that's
disgusting.
Good, yeah.
I think the worst part is in this picture, he has these small beady eyes and this weird fucking smile. It reminds me of the aliens from Explorers.
I was gonna say the cartoon. More like the cartoon.
Original Ghostbusters star and co-writer Dan Aykroyd has a cameo as a New York cab driver who also recites a line from Ray Parker Jr.'s Ghostbusters. I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Although New Ghostbusters has a totally different storyline about the emergence of ghosts, it still finds a way to include the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man. Jesus, as a balloon and the haunted Thanksgiving Day Parade, which, by the way, terrifying.
It was a lot better than what the trailers made it look like.
But when she says, I like a big guy in a top hat, and he peeks around, the balloon comes back and peeks around the alley.
I made eye contact.
Which could have been easily a one of the, I looked in the trap. I was waiting for something like that, but
I was actually waiting for that too when they threw out the traps to begin with. Don't look at the trap.
Oh, there is a Twinkie.
I looked at the
trap.
Where?
There's a Twinkie reference. Damn it! A billboard in Times Square reads, "That's a big Twinkie."
Oh, I missed that.
A reference to Winston's line when Egon uses a Twinkie as a metaphor for the energy buildup in New York. Man,
tell him about.
Now
the
I have
Twinkie.
To watch it again.
What about the Twinkie?
The big Twinkie. Rowan asks the Ghostbusters what form they prefer he appear in. Obviously, going back to Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Yep.
And then he turns into the giant form of the logo, which looks slightly like the Stay Puffed, but was amazingly done in CG, by the way.
Yeah.
Because he looks like a burlap sack. It looks like a live-action version of Oogie Boogie.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Because you can see the ripples in the seams.
When he debuted it, and it's, obviously the logo, and then he steps out of it, and you're like, oh, shit, the cartoon.
Yeah.
We got a cartoon reference from this. I'm like, fuck,
you
yes,
get Deadpool
dude.
For that shit.
Thank you so much for throwing a cartoon reference in, because...
It was
very
a nod
easily.
To the cartoon series. I love the cartoon series. I know some people didn't.
I watched a handful of episodes lately.
But you've
recently
you've watched more than somebody has.
I've seen them all, and I don't like them. Sorry. It's not Ghostbusters.
Awful person.
It was Ghostbusters.
I think it was the real Ghostbusters.
Slimer, I want Slimer to be like
their
buddy,
pet,
ally.
Buddy, buddy.
Not an ally, but their mascot almost, just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
It would be. I thought that's what would happen here, too.
Make it happen, Captain.
When confronting Ghostbusters, Rowan throws a piano at them, and it plays
awesome.
The melody from the Ghostbusters when he does the... This drives him insane. Or drives him nuts. When the Ghostbusters attempt to close Rowan's portal, they mention that the plan requires a total protonic
reversal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is a reference to... what they need to do to close the one for Zool or for Zools.
They didn't mention crossing the streams at all in this movie, too.
They did not. They mentioned.
I was saving that.
I was waiting for it.
They mentioned to watch the streams.
Right, but they never said don't cross the streams.
Yeah. Like I said, I wanted direct references. Don't look at the trap.
Right.
Which I thought was a super dope looking trap, by the way. Because she was, I was on the bottom of of her Holtzman's pack. She pulls it out. I was like, oh shit! Because I noticed hers was different, but I didn't know what it was. I was like, oh, hers must be a weird prototype or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then she pulls out the trap, and I was like, oh, and she hits the thing on her arm, and the little petal flies. I was like, man. And the grenade was dope, too.
Yeah.
It was hilarious when it goes off. She's like, all right, well, that was different than I expected. It was fantastic.
That was a little bit more powerful.
Ernie Hudson, a.k.a. Winston Zeddemore in the first Ghostbusters, plays Patty's uncle, who lends the new Ghostbusters the hearse. It becomes their Ecto-1.
Is there a body in the back?
If we do, the whole
stage, I could think of seven things I could use a cadaver for today. If we find a body, we have to take it back, Holtzman.
Sigourney Weaver appears in this scene during the closing credits as Holtzman's mentor in the field of mad science.
It's so unstable.
I know, right? In the post-credit scenes, Patty listens to a recording of EVP, electronic voice phenomenon, phenomena, that hears the name Zool, which is in obviously the entity that possesses Sigourney Weaver and Barrett. Sigourney Weaver's Dana Barrett in the original movie. And that's it. That's all of them. That's 41 things.
That was 41 things.
But I'm like, please go watch this movie, because there's no reason. Yeah, trailers were awful. Blah blah blah. Like the director was the director's name?
Paul Feig.
He didn't help anything with going off on the nerd people.
Yeah. By the way, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, don't do that, because nerd people hold grudges.
Oh yeah.
But. To be fair, the group he was talking about, he was 100% correct.
Oh, yeah.
Because nobody, like, I never had a problem with anybody saying, because we all thought the trailers were trash shit. My issue was all the people saying, like, because, like, I think even I said it was, like, I don't care if it's a girl Ghostbuster.
I think we thought it was weird at first, you know.
I thought it was weird, but I was like, just make a sequel. I thought that was the answer to it. You know what I mean? Like, why reboot it with women when you can just make a sequel with women and you could still have the OG cast and you make everybody happy?
Yeah.
But when the cast came out, I felt better about it, because I was like, oh, all three or all four of these are really, really funny people.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right. And I was starting to, I was turning on the ideal, and then I watched some of his other movies that he's did, and I was like, this guy's pretty good. You know, he's got some misses, but he's got some hits too.
Right.
I was like, all right, I'm getting kind of excited. And then I saw the trailer. I was like, oh shit, this is, uh-oh.
Yeah, it went the opposite of excitement.
That movie with the runaway train?
Yeah.
It was a train wreck?
Yeah.
Never come back.
Yeah. But yeah, the movie though is so goddamn fun. So go watch it. There's
no reason not to watch it. I mean, there's no reason not to enjoy it. And if you watch it
and if you don't like it, that's fine. But if you don't like it because it's women and it's not Bill Murray and Dan Aykroyd, go fuck yourself. Like, right? don't be that guy.
There were honestly really funny parts of that movie. A ton.
I will say this. I will definitely say this. This movie is better than Ghostbusters 2.
I have to think about that for a while.
But you have to think about that, though.
I'm not saying
that. You know what I mean? Like, you imagine if I said that before we saw it, you'd be like, there's no way it's going to be better than Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah,
I would have said
there's no way. Yeah.
It is. Because I watched Ghostbusters 2.
Because I still enjoyed the... I still like 2.
I like 2 a lot. I think this is the better... Better Ghostbusters.
Maybe. I think it's because I like those two movies together.
Yeah, that's what I think, you know.
But I'm not saying I...
The first Ghostbusters was magical, though. Like, you caught... Every so often, you get a movie where everything clicks. There's nothing bad about it. Mm-hmm. Like, those are so rare to come by.
It's a new idea. It's funny. And
the cast. I mean, it's just fucking...
Well-written.
Bill Murray at his peak. Dan Aykroyd at his peak. Like, the director, the guys who wrote it, like everything was great. It was fantastic. And then, you know,
and you rush and make 2.
Yeah, well, it wasn't really a rush, but
wasn't bad. It was, but it still wasn't bad.
Yeah. They rushed to put it together. Waited. I mean, it was like 6 years or 5 years or something between the two. But
I'm not a Ghostbusters 2 hater like some people. They're like, oh, Ghostbusters. Like, it's, I like Star Ghostbusters Wars 2. Yeah. Oh, it's not even close. I really like Ghostbusters 2, but I will go out and say this movie, if you rank the three of them, this one's behind 1 in front of 2. Boom.
I can give you that. I can totally agree with that.
Yeah. I'll let you say it.
If you said that you're going to watch all three movies today, which order do you want to watch them in?
Oh, I'd watch them in order.
Probably, you watch them in order.
Yeah, I'd probably watch them in order, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason
If you say that you can only watch two.
Oh, movies? Then first one and this one, for sure.
Yeah, there we go. First one and this one.
Yeah, if you gave me, say, we only have time for watch two, I'd be like, okay, I guess we're watching the first and the first, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, because, you're attaching part two to part one, and, like, obviously, but you're connecting it as a continuation. So I'm just saying, if you individually look at the
movies. If you ranked the movies, yeah. you'd go 1984, 2016, 1989.
Yeah.
Which, imagine any of us saying that a week ago.
I mean, that's what you said.
I would have given it a chance.
I gave it a chance, too.
We always knew you were going to watch it, but I was really worried that you weren't going to watch it until it came out on iTunes. Yeah,
there was nothing going on Sunday. On so quote-unquote like,
iTunes.
Yeah. Also, I really wanted that Ghostbusters pin. Once I saw a picture, I was like, oh no, we going to see Ghostbusters.
But I knew I was really gonna watch it.
By that text.
I knew I was gonna watch it, but I was very, very worried about it because of the trailers. And also with the amount of like hateful shit that was getting thrown at these people just for making it.
Yeah.
I was really rooting for it. I was like, oh, please be good. Cause like there's nothing worse than when like that subculture of nerd culture, the asshole group, is so loud and so vocal that you just want them to be shut the fuck up and go away.
They still won't.
No, they won't.
That weird vocal minority. Well, yeah,
but like you can point to this now and be like, you guys are fucking wrong. And
yeah,
you know,
should have made
when they get vindicated. That's the worst. When they get proven right about something, when they do, it's like,
you may have been right here, but you're still wrong in general.
Yeah, you're still wrong with your overall.
You don't want to do that.
You may have been right now. But your bathing habits are so wrong.
Okay.
Because I can smell you through the internet.
It was a bad movie, but...
not as bad as the smell coming off your armpits.
Not because of the reasons why you're saying.
Yeah, sexist pig.
Yeah. But no, this was a great movie. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I know you
did. And I will say...
Did you see the amount of hate that Leslie Jones was getting
when she quit Twitter?
Holy shit. Yeah,
so those guys got banned, though.
Good, but god damn it, like she was...
So apparently you guys know a little bit more than I do, because I read about this just this morning where they banned one guy and he was fucking out there.
He's
trying to be a real life Borat,
but what
he's way worse than Borat. Juno.
Do you guys know what started it and why three people got banned, because or four people, because I only knew about
it's
one.
Four people total.
She started getting a lot of hate tweets over the weekend because of the movie.
Okay.
And like most people who get that, like every now and then you'll see an athlete like retweet somebody saying something awful,
mm-hmm.
just to like remind people like, hey, these guys are assholes. She retweeted some of it and was like, look, this is what's happening. Like, it's not right. Blah, blah, blah. She responded to some people. And then that pissed off like those group of people got mad that she fucking dared defy them. So
she put them in the light.
Yeah, because then you get person gets thousands of tweets of her supporters calling them assholes, and deservingly so. Their phone should blow up with notifications that they're cunts. So after that happens, it started rolling in real bad for her. And they were saying awful shit. And then they started taking pictures of her. You know how if you single out a tweet on the computer,
mm-hmm.
how it looks? They were taking that like that snapshot and erasing the words and photoshopping in, like making it look like her saying awful, awful shit. Like really terrible shit. Picture. Like racist shit, anti-Semitic stuff, mm-hmm. And spelt really dumb and street and fucking like...
Like, obviously she wouldn't say it.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It was awful shit. And she was just like... And she's worried because, like, I mean, if you want to take a second and think about it, like there's not a lot of prominent black women in Hollywood.
Mm-mm.
And she's right on that cusp of being able to be that. And she's worked... And she's older, too.
Yeah.
And she's worked so hard and so long to get up to this point. Like, shit like that... anti-Semitic stuff buried Mel Gibson. You know how fast it's gonna bury a black female comic who's only been in the public eye for like 2 years?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So she legit got like worried, like people were gonna think I actually said this, because there's So, but yeah, so thankfully those dickwads who were really the focal point for it got banned from Twitter. But then one of them, the Bruno fuck, he's getting a reality TV show now.
What?
It was just announced.
Is it on CMT? Because that makes sense.
What's wrong with this world where he gets a reality show? That wasn't the
guy. I don't know if it was because of. I don't think it was because
he was.
Of this.
He's already like he's a really popular person on Twitter and stuff, and I think YouTube too.
Whoever
talks shit about people,
whoever is giving him the reality show needs to retract that.
Well, I mean, granted, they need to do a lot of things, but I don't know if that's actually going to happen.
It probably won't.
I mean,
but I'm just saying.
Honey Boo Boo ran for a bunch of seasons for no reason.
But Honey Boo Boo at the same time wasn't
she
sit
wasn't
there
spewing
being,
out hateful shit.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, her mom said some fucked up shit.
Yeah, but it was just dumb old white person stuff. This wasn't purposely hateful.
Oh, yeah, it's not like directed at a person.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I
know, I mean, you agree. It's just like, yeah.
But she got, yeah, dude, it was brutal. Like, I was on Twitter that night, and I was like, because I didn't follow on Twitter because, you know. Like,
and people need to calm the fuck down.
Yeah, dude, it's a movie.
It's a movie.
Like,
it doesn't affect your life. If it affects your life that much, then I'm sorry, you need to go get help.
Mark Maron.
Yeah, the Fat Man on Batman co-host. He said it best. Is he posted his little, like, review. He was talking about it. He said he liked it. He didn't love it.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't like it, obviously, as much as we did. But he said about people coming back saying shit that ruined his child. They, like, people were replying, no, it's ruining our childhood. He was like, look, this is how it works. If they remake something and it's good, we have something good in the world to watch. If they remake something and it's bad, you can go back and appreciate the original more.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what these people who are just throwing hate at this movie for silly, silly reasons need to go back and just enjoy watching those first two.
Yeah.
And just watch it again.
And just consider those two the only ones.
It's like
ones.
The same. This is the same group of people. They're obviously not as loud. Or there one isn't many, but all those people who thought the new Ninja Turtle movies were ruining something sacred in their lives, I'm like,
they're
no.
still getting flack. I still will see articles like Michael Bay coming out with another movie. Who watches these Ninja Turtle movies? They're complete garbage. And I'm like, no, they're actually pretty fun and good. Like,
I mean, if you go back and you watch the original cartoon, which everyone has this, like we've talked about before, the lens of nostalgia you have for stuff you watched in the past,
mm-hmm.
is rose-colored for sure.
Oh,
like if you go
seriously.
Back and watch that stuff, like I own the Transformers series, I own the G.I. Joe series because I love them, and they're fucking rough to rewatch.
The G.I.
I will
Joe
say,
one's
though,
the worst.
That
the, which one?
The,
Gen 1?
G.I. Joe.
Oh, G.I. 1's,
worst.
Yeah. Ugh.
I will say, though, that I think out of those old cartoons, because, I mean, I've watched your Transformers collection, right?
Yep.
So I watched all of them within the last few years. I watched a lot of the G.I. Joe within the last few years, and I rewatched the entire classic Ninja Turtles cartoon. I will say, I think that towards the end, it got, like, I feel like they stopped caring. But early on, I think it was the best one out of those groups.
The Turtles?
Really where it picked up is seasons 2 through 4.
Well, even 1, because it was 7 episodes in season 1.
1 was good. The problem is it didn't have anywhere. It was a very, like, they split, in 7 parts, they split up 1 episode's plot enough. Yeah. So, because they were like, we don't know if it's going to make it. Mainly because, like, back then, which they had a benefit of, and I'll say this, they had a benefit of knowing the original
was
material.
It? Yeah.
Because
they didn't know that. And had they known that, if they tried to do, I'm trying to think of something they could make super kid friendly out of something as
invincible.
Violent. Yeah. Okay. If they.
Yeah, but it's a good.
Or Walking Dead, we'll say that.
Kick Ass, you know, I mean, a lot of stuff that was.
Yeah, the like really popular comic book world, and they try to make kid friendly, like it won't work. Like Ninja Turtles would not have worked at any other point. Just 7 years later, the internet message boards would have been enough to sink it. I think at that point,
yeah,
you know, so it came out just in time.
No, yeah.
For people to be like, oh, this is Ninja Turtles, you know?
When I saw the cartoons and the movies, I didn't know anything about the comic book.
Me either. Yeah. I didn't know anything about the comic book until, I mean, we were hanging out at that point already, so.
Yeah.
That's like The Mask.
The Mask is another good one. Yeah.
Oh, you look at those comics and you look at the movie, you're like, or even the cartoon, and you're like,
That was brutal. Nope.
That's nothing. That's not even close.
Like, well, wasn't The Mask, the movie, supposed to be real fucked up? And then, like, the guy they wanted to play him didn't play him. Yeah. And they got Jim Carrey. Like, well, we might as well make it a comedy now.
Yep. But, yeah, no, those people are dumb, for sure.
Yep.
But all I was saying is, if you go back and you watch them, those will ruin your childhood in a point. But, like, then you have to look at it like, oh, I was dumb and young. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And they're fun for the most part. But, like, if you go back and watch, like, something like He-Man, oh, my God, dude.
He-Man, that's awful.
You're like, holy shit. There's a reason I don't own those. Because I rewatched them, and I was like, these are awful.
The only cartoon that I've watched when I was a little kid that is, I think is actually, that I loved, but I think is better now, being an adult. Yeah, Ed and Eddie. No, it was Batman the Animated Series.
Dude, Batman the Animated Series.
It worked on every level of you watching.
And the thing about that is, because they, and Paul Dini's even said it, they wrote that series to be for adults, for like young adults and adults. Because, and if you remember, like, we've talked about it before, that originally aired in primetime. Yeah, it wasn't
Fox wanted. It was Fox's decision to make good animation again.
Yeah, because it was the same.
Good animation.
It was around the same time with like The Simpsons and stuff, because The Simpsons was so popular. But if you like, even now The Simpsons are fairly not PG. They're more PG-13.
Yeah.
But the old school ones
were super bad.
Were like, wow, like I can't believe my parents let me watch that.
Right.
My parents were a little more lenient than most, because I remember the big, like, we've talked about this before. The big thing about that as a country is like, oh, parents aren't letting people watch their kids watch The Simpsons, blah, blah, blah. But, like, the opening credits has the mayor of Springfield watering his weed plant in the closet of his office.
Yeah.
That clip, yes, it's like half a second long, but that clip airs every Sunday for how many years in a row now?
Yeah.
I
20-something years, right? Years. Like,
yeah.
That's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. And that's this is a cartoon.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, you know? If you did that now, like, you wouldn't be able to do that now.
No, unless you're on, like, some sort of cable channel.
Unless you're on,
you point
like,
to,
Comedy
like,
Central
Comedy
or something.
Comedy Central, where you can get away with it with South Park and stuff. But on your regular networks, besides The Simpsons, you're not going to get away with being able to choke your son out, you know, as
weekly.
A camera. Weekly, because that used to be a thing on The Simpsons. It still kind of is, but they've toned it down a lot more.
Yeah. Mainly because it's not as funny anymore.
Yeah, they've switched over from more of the overtly cartoonish stuff to a more realistic cartoonish stuff. But yeah, you're not going to get that type of stuff now.
And now, like some of the cartoons, they hide. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Steven Universe.
I've seen a little bit. It's
the
not
animation
my
still throws me off a little bit because I don't like that bleh. Like it's over, like not even overly like cartoon, like overly characterized. It's just like bland, not looking normal people. Anyways, I never watched it like right away. Like I was like, eh. And then I don't know why, but I watched like two episodes in a row. I was like, Jesus, this show is ridiculous. And then like, I've watched every episode now, and that show will make you cry.
No, yeah,
it is rough.
I know the stories and the plots of that show are actually pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I'm not thrown off by the animation, but yeah, there's just something about it, and I can't say what exactly it is that I just can't get into. Like pretty much every other Cartoon Network show that they've released, I can get into. You know, it's fantastic.
I can't get into
Clarence. Oh, Clarence! Yeah, Clarence is another one. That one's just I can point out that the kids are
monster.
Just fucking stupid. Yeah, I can't do that. But everything else on there.
Adventure Time
is amazing.
Fantastic. Regular show.
Regular shows. We Bear Bears.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think that's my new favorite one.
Right?
I've been watching it.
Oh my God.
Amazing World of Gumball.
Dude,
I fucking
love
that show.
Gumball. Oh, yeah. Even Teen Titans Go. Like when the original Teen Titans was good, and when they switched over to Go, it was like, oh.
It's like, what the fuck,
what
man?
What the fuck are they doing?
You ruined my childhood.
Yeah. But then after watching Teen Titans Go.
You ruined my early 20s.
Yeah. Right. My late 20s.
Don't fucking laugh at that.
But after watching a bunch of episodes of it, it's actually pretty funny. And there's like the little side jokes that you see everywhere, like the little Batman pillows, the Darkseid dolls.
The weird posters.
The weird poster. My favorite is the Halloween episodes that they did, which actually featured the Ghostbusters-esque type thing. Oh, my God.
One of my favorite ones is a recurring joke that even Dan Hipp, who's the art is based on his art, is the meta posters inside Robin's room are just versions of Robin.
Yeah.
Makes me laugh every time. Because it's like you see a picture of Damien, and you're like, but the younger you.
Or they did they do the episodes with the other Robins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's great, too. Because you, like, you even have a Carrie Kelly.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, hilarious. She's canon in a way.
Yep.
Sort of. Like, in a weird spinoff way. I think that's it.
That's it.
Yeah, we're almost at the hour.
Tight. Kept this one tight.
Okay. That was. You liked it, I'm Mike. Pretty sure I just got Akalili raped.
Yep.
Whoa.
In both eyes.
Joey, two dicks over here.
Yeah, both eyes has got just dicks in them.
Hey, Joey, two dicks. Why they call you Joey, two dicks?
Because I got two dicks.
Oh.
Hey, forget about it.
I would say that's an inside joke, but it's really not. It's just
it's something we literally made up like just 10 minutes before we started recording.
But that's Joe's new nickname, by the way.
I'm changing it on my phone.
Yeah, he's Joey Two Dicks now,
and it's Joey, as in like Joe E, not Joey, as in
like
J O E Y. It's Joe E, like it's Joe, the word Joe, J O E, and then a capital E, Joey Two Dicks.
Oh.
Two dicks, and it's gonna be two dicks, T O O, because those people don't know how to spell.
Mm. I'll just put the number in.
Nah, that's way too cool. Hey Joe, do you want to tell Mike the worst thing I referred to you as today that made you almost throw my awesome pizza out the window of the car that we're moving?
Oh God, I was so enraged. What was it?
So he made a.
You called me the neon lights from underneath Batman's car.
Batmobile.
The Batmobile.
I said he's the neon lights on a Batmobile.
I almost threw his goddamn pizza out the window.
He was so fucking mad.
I
had to talk him down, dude. I was like, whoa, don't take it on the pizza.
That you should know about Joey Two Dicks over here is he hates neon lights.
On Batmobile. On
Batmobiles.
You can have neon lights on everything.
Anything else.
But not on a vehicle that's supposed to be stealthy.
Damn Batmobile.
Oh, you know what someone should do that will really piss him off? You know the scene from Batman Begins when he goes stealth in the tumbler for the first time? Someone needs to re-edit that when he shuts the lights off to have neon ground effects kick on. Oh my God, Joe loses shit. That'd be amazing.
There's got to be somebody had to have
Schumachered
the Nolan Batman a little bit.
So nipples on every scene of him.
And they're not well done, so they keep moving around as they move around.
They're like, what's his face's mole from
Joey Dudix over here. Joey
Two Dicks is so upset.
End the show now. I'm pissed
off. He was, dude, legitimately so mad when I called him the neon lights on a Batmobile.
All joking aside, I literally almost threw his
pizza out. I almost lost a friend today.
Window.
Almost lost a friend. Mainly because he threatened my pizza.
Yeah.
Not because he was going to defriend me. I was like, well, no, nobody threatens pizza, especially this pizza.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
You guys got any of that pizza left, by the way?
We do.
Mm-hmm.
And I even bought frozen pizza.
Because
their frozen pizza is the
same
shit.
Here.
Did you buy one for me?
We did not.
No.
I only bought two.
Mm-hmm.
Well, only bought two, huh?
They're small ones, though.
We weren't thinking of anybody else but ourselves.
Yeah, we invited you to go.
We did, actually.
Goddamn work.
Yeah.
Oh, goddamn work.
Goddamn your work.
It's always next week.
Goddamn bills. Stupid being an adult bullshit.
Right?
Speaking of being an adult, that's it for this week. We are
Joe,
Mike.
I am Cody. Thanks for listening. And as usual, you guys just came naturally.
Hey, Joey Two Dicks.